Harry paid the surprised-looking attendant a handful of cestuses, and 5 minutes later they were aloft in one of the baskets, holding on to the thick wicker sides as the pilot, a taciturn, grizzled man, adjusted the burners and pulled on vent cables from time to time. They were halfway across when there was a thud from the basket's wickerwork floor. Julia and Harry moved to one side, and a hitherto invisible hatch creaked open.
"Quickly!" came a voice from the dimness below. "Before they realise!"
Julia went first, smiling at the stunned balloonist as she climbed down, hastily followed by Harry, who pulled the trapdoor shut after him. They were in a small, grey-walled compartment with the skinny, long-coated and begoggled man from before, who had to be Nicodemus. Weirdly, the low ceiling looked just like the underside of the balloon basket, and Julia could still hear the balloonist shifting about above them, muttering to himself.
"Here we go," said Nicodemus. "The big switcheroo!"
From a coat pocket, he took a little box with an old-fashioned rocker switch, which he pressed. Abruptly, the wicker ceiling dissolved into flat grey, while one of the compartment walls vanished, revealing a long, narrow room with metal rack shelves on one side and a couple of desks sitting beneath more shelving on the other. A pair of archaic bulbs hung from a high ceiling, but the only light came from the rows of small screens sitting on the shelves over the desks.
"Mr. Nicodemus, I presume," Harry said.
Julia saw that he was back in the Tiger Duke Exeter, and she was Lioness Lady again.
"Just Nicodemus,"
their host said. Pushing the goggles up onto his dark, bristly hair, he busily retrieved a couple of grubby wheeled office chairs from the room's shadowy far end. Once they were seated, he leaned back against a desk edge, folded his coat shut, crossed his arms, and regarded them both with wide, intense eyes.
"My zetetic field tells me that you are both code entities, although one of you is a fractal simuloid, highly recomplex with a non-bounded sentience."
He paused to regard Julia with fascinated eyes.
"You should realise that while I am a living, breathing, organic human, and therefore prey to all the failings of the flesh, this image of mine is no more than a remote exter. I'm not neurally linked, therefore cannot be wet-hacked or mind-seared in any way, if either of you were considering such gambits."
"Nothing could be further from our minds, I assure you," Harry said.
"Were you able to identify our contact? If you know anything about his origins and allegiance, you would get some notion of our reliability."
Nicodemus gave a bleak smile.
"Sure, I know about the construct, and your drone patron was able to satisfy me that he is the genuine article. I just had to be certain about you two, especially with those two Zazins on your trail."
"Ah, so that's what they were,"
Harry said, his features suddenly serious.
"A little background would be helpful," Julia said.
"Code-specific hunter-killers," he said. "Whoever is behind them managed to get hold of full or even partial scans of our code cores. Zazins don't stop. They just keep regenerating."
"So we're in danger anywhere," she said. "Out in the glow, for example."
"Yes, which makes our task just that much trickier."